Greetings.
Hello, everybody.
Why, hello, Bubo.
Hello.
This is the last time many people will ever see you, Bubo, because you know what?
That's right.
You know what? This is the last episode of Transmission. We haven't had one for a while, so people would be forgiven for thinking we've already had the last episode. Right. They'd be forgiven for thinking that several times. So it makes sense that we'd actually have a last episode because clearly, you know, life being what it is, we haven't been able to be consistent. We thought we'd end as we began, like thieves in the night.
Yes. Only now we have our t-shirts. Right. We need to show those too. Our angry and effective t-shirts.
My t-shirt is curvier than it was when we first got it.
That's right. That's right. And greetings, Catherine.
Catherine has a picture of an owl.
Yes.
Cat.
And David.
Susan says, good morning. Guten Morgen, Susan. Congrats on the great run. Happy finale. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh. Thanks for being here.
What a run. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this before. I don't think I've ever shown this on air, but my Nicolas Cage pillow is in the background.
Oh, there it is.
It's watching. He likes to listen. It's my sexy Nicolas Cage
pillow. It's tending to his pig.
Mm-hmm. Friar Nicolas Maria says, greetings.
Greetings.
Trisha Johnson says, enjoyed the ride.
Great. Thanks for showing up. We appreciate it.
Yeah, like... This has been, I'm going to keep, how do you measure a life?
Yes. I think we need to talk about the number.
256.
Because that wasn't episode. On the little placard. Usually you put the number of the episode.
So I did, you know, like if you, Wikipedia has a entry for every number, I mean, up to a certain point, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
This was the most interesting to me. I think maybe to you also, Dan, seemed to me. 256 is the number value in Hebrew gematria of the word ranu, meaning they sang, which appears in Jeremiah 31:6. They sing with gladness for Jacob, and was associated with a prophecy of the return of the Messiah in the Hebrew year 456, which was close to the 256th lunar cycle when the Jews were persecuted during the First Crusade. There's other things, but that's the coolest. Yeah. And it's also, as Dan pointed out,
So it's the karaoke number, which, for those of you who are not familiar, Ash is just a little bit into karaoke.
A wee bit, yeah.
Like, so much that karaoke and Ash go together like
gummy bears and
time and flowers.
It's true. I thought, you know, it'd be a good time to just tell people a little bit about where this came from, do a little kind of businessy piece, and then kind of just shift into some reminiscing and conversation with y'all. Because the theme is endings. Reminiscings. I don't know how to put the word.
Reminiscences.
Reminings.
Remini.
Yeah. Reminis. So here, just I'm going to pull this up for a second. So this is the placard that we usually put up. And you can look at it like, so this started as kind of a collaboration between me and Dan, but also a collaboration between the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing and the Center for Prophetic Imagination. Because this isn't just the thing we do. This is a thing we do among different things, and including like we launched a 2-year program in spiritual direction and social transformation, which is badass. We do retreats, we do talk, speaking things. We've been involved in various direct action things, writing stuffs. Yeah. And, you know, like, we're not doing this anymore, so we're not going to ask you to support this. But you know what? If this has been meaningful to you and you like the kind of energy we put out in the world, I would invite you to donate money in an ongoing basis, even to both of the organizations that we represent. Not because we're greedy and need more money for ourselves, but because I know we both have stuff we're working on in a world where things kind of seem grim and the fuckers tend to have more money. So there's stuff I know we're currently even working on now that we feel like, oh, we need to be able to kind of expand capacity. So I just want to put that out there. If anybody's curious about that, you can message us and we can explain the things what we're doing and explain where the money goes.
Right.
So I'm just going to put that out so then we can get that behind us and move forward into a brave new world together.
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, when I was thinking about coming to this last episode and thinking over the time, there were really two things that stood out to me. I mean, one was we began this, and of course we had no idea what was going to happen. And we just thought, wow, things are really weird in the world right now. This would be fun to talk about. And we've got this pandemic. And then, of course, we had the killing of George Floyd here in Minneapolis. And amazingly enough, people started watching and listening and tuning in. And so I just think about that auspicious beginning. Which in many ways to me reminds me a lot of the practice of discernment, which is something that we talk about a lot and is very central to, for example, the spiritual direction work that we do and all kinds of other things that we do, which is the listening to that kind of inner voice, right, that is prompting us and moving us in some kind of life-giving way. And as part of the MICA organization, we have a weekly MICA meeting, and we always do some praying with scripture or some kind of reading. And this week, we were really talking about, there was a great reading about listening to our inner voice. And one of the things that we were talking about is how that is very much stomped out of us, right? That we are told not to listen to our inner voice.
Yep.
That our inner voice is bad, that our inner voice is evil, or that our inner voice is useless or not as important as the outer voices of the rules and the regulations. And, you know, we're ashamed into listening to the outer voice and not to the inner voice. And that practice is incredibly important to becoming a loving, authentic human being. So that was the first thing I was thinking about. The second thing I was thinking about was all of you who are watching and listening right now. I mean, to me, Ash and I like to hear ourselves talk and like to talk to each other. But to me, the best part about this has been all of you. And circling back to the donation piece, you know, one of the things that in the publishing world, and I had a conversation with a friend at the Upper Room about this a couple years ago, is there's all this great content that gets created. And the biggest issue and problem often is that there isn't curating of the content. Right. And one of the things that when organizations have enough money, so for example, many, many people get a daily email from somebody like Richard Rohr. Mm-hmm. Richard isn't sending out those emails every day, right? Somebody is curating his content and sending it out.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, somebody could go through these 256 episodes and look at comments that people have made, observations that you all have made. There's an amazing amount of good content that could be curated. And, you know, that comes from all of you. And I just have loved hearing from people and, you know, the kinds of conversations that we've had. So I really want to thank everybody and just send a lot of love and appreciation for what we've heard and talked about together.
Yeah, when we were doing this more frequently, really in the heart of the pandemic, when this is kind of, we started this because like, well, we can't leave. Right. And it became a way of connecting with lots of folks. And so it was very meaningful in part because it was the only way a lot of us could meaningfully connect on important ideas and how it connected to our lives. So a lot of people early on in particular likened this to kind of like church. And a lot of like those, there'd be such great conversation and so much wisdom bombs dropped that then we'd be like, well, we know we're talking about next time. Sari's brought this truth bomb, and so we're going to talk about that for a few times. Or Ellen said this, or David said that. You know, different people would bring these really wonderful insights, and it's always felt a little, you know, limits of the technology, because you know we're talking and we're reading and we pull out the comments and share them. But even as limited as that kind of framework is, there's been some remarkable insights, and we're able to go fairly deep within this format, and it's amazing. It's also amazing to see, like Dan and I were talking about beforehand, like there's so much like anxiety and fear about what was happening, but this sense of anticipation of like something for those of us who have the perspective can see the veil being ripped away. That was the kind of the first big theme, the apocalyptic right. moment. And what new world is emerging from the shell of the old? And we knew then, it's not like Dan and I are a little too cynical to think like utopia is just around the bend, kiddos. Like we weren't there. But we did have like, can this be the revolutionary moment that we've longed for our whole lives? And then it turns out, no, not yet.
No. No.
With George Floyd being murdered, we've seen in Minneapolis, the mayor end up with more power and the police end up bigger and more moneyed. We've seen, you know, yes, Biden is less of a horrible human being than Trump, but we've seen continued movement towards fascism, largely because of political outmaneuvering, meaning that in some states, they're rolling back some of my civil rights. And then a lot of cis women and AFAB men's civil rights for reproduction, right? Yeah. Can't talk about being gay. Critical race theory has suffered some blows, all kinds of stuff, different countries. And so we've seen the battle, metaphorically speaking, and unfortunately not so metaphorically speaking, continues. And so to me, it's been very meaningful to have this time where we've reflected and seen what was possible, and start imagining together, even though we've seen kind of things shift in the direction towards shittiness rather than awesomeness. We know that the possibility for the world that we long for is still there. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. We're all still here.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I just become more and more convinced every day, you know, and this is why to me the sort of angry and effective thing was so hilarious. There we go. Yes. such a great t-shirt. And I get the best looks every time I wear it. You know? It's just, I love wearing
my son wears about. This. It's kind of his favorite, one of his favorite shirts. Yeah.
And, you know, is that in times like this, where the massive systems are thrashing about and trying to maintain themselves, even as they're collapsing, it's these really small, creative, different kinds of things that begin to show the possibilities of something new. And I think that, you know, and this is one of the things that we've also seen about activism over these last 2 years in particular, is there's been a lot of discussion about how activism just starts to become about fame, right? And about how much money can you, you know, corral in, and, you know, how many huge grants can you get? And, you know, very quickly people become co-opted. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about Juneteenth, right, which is just around the corner. And, you know, there's Juneteenth ice cream, and there's Walmart, Juneteenth, you know, Walmart things and this, that. Right. And so, you know, the small creative subversive activities are really key in times like this, because, you know, the seed metaphor often gets overused, but there is something to that. And so that's to me also what's just very exciting about something like this, is that you know, and I've seen through this what many of you are up to in your places and spaces, and the transformation that is happening, even if it appears to the big consultants that it is either ineffective or angry or both. Both. Got some comments?
Yep. Lots of loving, well-wishing kind of things.
Yeah.
David's absolutely love these chats. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sari's glad to see all. Love seeing the merch. This is technically not merch yet.
It has not been merchized.
Yeah. And there's a possibility, you know, CPI, we just hired a digital outreach person. And one of the tasks that we're talking about is figuring out, like, how, you know, kind of know me enough to know that I'm not really big on trying to commercialize things. But I do want to try to make some things like this available for people who want it in a way that's not economically gross. That's also like compensating time for staff stuff. So I'm sure we'll find a way to make this available. You can make it yourself, but I know y'all want the sweet official one with a union made t-shirt. So we'll figure it out eventually. I don't know, can't remember the context, but that is brand new information.
That was about the 256.
Oh. Yeah. I'm glad you have been blessed with the knowledge that we shared. Lance writes, I am sorry this is the last one. Because of my work schedule, I do not get to see it in real time, but I've enjoyed it when I've been able, and will miss it. Thanks, Lance.
Thank you.
And Lance and I have known each other for a while. I used to go to Old Chicago every once in a while with a crew of like socialist folks. Maybe someday I'll be able to, I don't know if you still do that. But I'd prefer to hang out in real time. Maybe that'll happen sometime soon. Jim writes, personally, I'm sorry that you won't be continuing this ministry. Wishing you both all the best. Jim goes on to write, I looked forward to each and every show, thinking and reflecting and asking aloud. Art. Kathleen writes, angry and ineffective forever. Blessings to all. That's like Indian effective forever can be a hashtag. Let's get it going, people. We'll use it for something.
It can't be too very ineffective.
Yeah. Yeah, just hashtag it for random things to keep it ineffective. Right. David writes, it was interesting to walk this journey with you of seeing the unveiling, the opportunities that could emerge in the moment, and then the closing down and doubling down on the worst human instincts. Boy. Yeah. Friar Nicholas Maria writes, I've only heard a tiny sliver of what you've offered, and I was hooked by the delicious improbability of your success and relished playing some small part in it. So here I am. Wow.
That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah.
Just maybe it'd be worth talking about, like, I have a couple thoughts in my head, Dan. Like, one, I think it might be good for people to know what we'll be up to in these seasons ahead. But I'm also, part of my brain is also like, I want to know what some of their favorite moments or episodes were. And then, but I also kind of want to not, I want to look forward, not backward, and hear people share about their hopes. That's a lot to pack into the remaining 10, 10 minutes, like 15 we always go over. But maybe we can just share a little bit, you know. So yeah, what you got going in the future, Dan?
So one of the things, of course, you know, the spiritual direction program is ongoing, and continue to be just really excited about that. And actually, I mean, I get people all the time that are asking me about applying for that, that are expressing interest. I'm going to be talking about that at an event with the BTS Center, June 23rd. And again, that's on the MICA website. That's on Facebook. We're going to be talking about spiritual direction and the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And what are some different ways that spiritual direction and spiritual directors can engage that. It's an afternoon event. It's the BTS Center makes their events available at really reasonable prices. So it's only $25. There are also scholarships. So it would really encourage spiritual director type folks to consider coming to that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that that we're getting going that's going to be later in the summer into the fall. Is a program with some colleagues in Ohio looking at doing pastoral ministry in this real changing time. And, you know, one of the things that pastors are really caught with is they have these jobs that is often serving what is called sometimes the nostalgic church, right? This old church system. And yet they're really interested in doing new things and often engaging outwardly into the community and with folks that aren't coming to church. And, you know, then the nostalgic church gets mad at them for spending all their time, you know, talking to people who aren't becoming members and paying money. And so we're going to be convening some an online class and then a retreat and some conversations about that. So I'm pretty excited about that. Those of you that are in the church world know that pastors are crashing and burning and leaving their jobs in record numbers right now. You know, and that's the funny thing about the pandemic. We say, well, it was the apocalyptic moment that could turn for good, and maybe it hasn't, but it's still this apocalyptic moment, right? Like in the life of the world, apocalyptic moments last a long time. They're not really just a moment. So, so this is still ongoing. And, you know, and as I said, within church systems, the crisis is only accelerating rather than decelerating. So those are just a couple of specific things, and just, you know, excited about all that. The other fun thing that I would say, you know, before we start, I was saying to Ash that when you do something for this long, like a lot of things happen and you can see that. And I do want to give a shout out to Max and Sarah, who put together the wonderful music for our introduction, who just a couple weeks ago finally were able to have their wedding. And so that was really cool. And I will say that when professional musicians get married, you have a lot of really good music at the wedding. So that was fun. They wrote a bunch of really great music for the ceremony, and just like they wrote great music for us. So those are a couple things. What do you want to say, Ash? And we're getting a lot more comments too. Yeah, I was going to say reminiscing. I do want to make a reminiscing moment. Mm-hmm. If I were to think about what was one of my favorite things about this, it was when Kat and Adam would drop brilliant comments at minute 29 or minute 31 that would then force us to stay on the air because we had to talk about them. And that was always great and funny too.
You glorious fuckers. So for me, I'm trying as much as I can. There's complicating factors to take a sabbatical in July because it's been a heavy year for me. Lots of reasons. I transitioned. I look different now, and I am different, and lots of things are different about me than in when we started this thing, which most people are aware of at this point. It's very consequential, and I know a lot of people, it's hard for them to wrap their brain around, and I understand that. It's harder for me inside of it, so just so people know.
consequential and wonderful, I would add.
Yeah, to me, it's great. But part of the thing, and a lot of the stuff I'll be doing in the future, I'm just trying to grapple with that. Because so I am going to try to shift back. Like, also, my son has had some mental health and physical health crises, I think partly triggered, but not just by the pandemic. But I think in the coming year, I'm trying to shift towards returning to full-time work. And my wife is going to try to work evenings. So that we'll flip what we've been doing, so I can focus more on the work that I've been wanting to do, which will be great. And the sorts of things I want to do is like expand the capacity for our two-year program, because we've had to turn people away and not been able to do as much of that as we want. I want to teach more and speak more and write more. And also try to, I'm just sitting with discerning more about queerness and how to kind of engage that space a little bit more, because our country at different levels is becoming increasingly regressive and adversarial towards trans people and queer people in different ways. And the church is a reason. Christianity is the animating force for that.
So the church has not been helpful.
and you can do hashtag not all Christians about it, but like, look, Christian supremacy is a thing.
You can't.
People can try, I mean. And so, like, look, I'm a Christian. I'm Jesus-y about this. I'm very Jesus-y, and Jesus and I are tight. And I'm good, so I feel like I got to enter into this battle a little bit. I'm trying to figure that out. so there'll be some of that. The part of the transitioning thing that's been fun is like, well, one, it's like I'm fine. It's a lot. Yes, it's about gender expression and things like that. But when to get Jungian for a second. When you have a whole big chunk of yourself that's shoved into your shadows, like the big long sack, as Robert Bly might call it, of your shadow, and then all of a sudden you start getting reacquainted with yourself, there's stuff that has nothing to do with whether or not you like makeup and wearing dresses that are packed in there. So all of a sudden you get to know more about yourself, and more of your fire and passion and power comes out. So I'm also kind of realizing that even though my vocation hasn't changed, there's qualities to it that have shifted. So I'm part of it is like discerning how to show up more. And I think I know to a lot of people who follow me only online, you might think I'm kind of a pushy anarchist type, but in real life, I'm pretty mild. I don't know. Maybe Dan can reflect on that for other people. I hold back a lot. I think I'm learning to hold back less. So
you're a Minnesotan. I mean,
yeah. There's feisty Minnesotans, and I haven't necessarily.
Oh, really? Are they hiding in the woods somewhere?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, you betcha. They're
hiding there in the woods. So I'm trying to sit with that, like how to be more of the warrior goddess that I am about some of this stuff. So
there we go.
So open-ended discernment on that.
Some all right. Well, why don't we rock through the comments, and then we'll just about be done. Oh be gosh. Done with being done.
I loved the massive imperfect action you took. Angry and ineffective, my friend. Susan writes, I feel that with everything that has been happening in our country, this dialogue helped me sort out the truth and be grounded. Can't thank you both enough. Thanks. I mean, it's been helpful to us too, just to be able to have a place to kind of talk with
various
friends digitally like this and sort things out. Kat writes, these conversations were such a meaningful lifeline for me when I was working as a cleaner during lockdown. Really enjoyed hearing your thoughts and responding with huge typos on my breaks with gloves on. Yes, I recall those glove-laden typings. Tyler writes, I greatly appreciated transmission and all the insight and perspectives you shared. I will continue to follow you both on social media, since I'm sure there's plenty more to glean. I hope so. Patricia writes, excited to hear more about the pastoral care, Dan. I am one of those crashing and burning.
Okay, yeah, I would definitely message you directly about that, as well as the other publicity that I'm doing, that we're doing.
Kat writes, cackles wickedly. Seriously, though, it takes just takes me 20 minutes to compose a comment. Bev writes, thank you so much. Oh, hey, Bev. It's been a dynamic light in the darkness for me. Hope more thoughtful discussions like this pop up more and more.
Thank you.
Friar Nicholas writes, part of what makes your story so enticing for me are your names. You are my people. I am from Pella, Iowa. My family is one of the founding families, apparently, in Pella, Iowa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whatever that.
Van Steenwijk. Van Steenwijk's settled that fertile plane. Aurora writes, yes, let's get Jungian.
Let's
get shadow work, baby. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this in the background. Like right here, you can see that's Jung's big red book. I splurged one day on it. It's got all of his, when he went intentionally insane to do art and write esoteric shit.
As opposed to Mao's little red book.
Yeah. There are two books. I have that somewhere too, I'm sure. Kira writes, Kira has a cool font for Kira's name. That's cool. Didn't have the bandwidth to catch you live when you started, but I've been going through the archive this year. Just wanted to say how much I appreciate you all, your work, and this podcast. Greenheart.
Thank you.
Kira. Aurora writes, go warrior goddess you. Thank you. In a non-lethal sense, except for soul lethality. We can unpack that some other time, but not on this show. Bev wrote, man, you are talking to me right now. Ash, I'm also queer warrior goddess and burnt out, trying our best. Huge hugs. This is the thing, burnout's real. Crashing and burning, like, I got really upset a couple weeks ago with someone, kind of like, someone's talking about burnout, and someone's like, look, I'm doing all the right things, I'm not burnt out. Like, God. Burnout is sometimes unavoidable.
Yeah, those are always the least helpful comments, right? It's all the, you know, the things about, I'm very depressed. Hey, just, you know, take some magnesium and go for a walk.
Yeah, it's once like, you walk some.
Those kinds of comments are so horrible. I mean, especially on an electronic forum where you're not actually relating to somebody as a human being. Like, why would you even say that? What's the purpose of that comment?
Well, here's the thing. Like, when we're brought into this world, we're not just some sort of tabula rasa. We're not a blank slate. We're bearing with us the traumas and the wounds inflicted upon our ancestors. Like, we're carrying that. And we enter into a really shitty situation. Anybody with compassion, and if some of us have anxiety not of our choosing and mental health stuff, burnout happens because the world is not as it should be. So it's really hard, like in a world where we tend, our first instinct for people who are compassionate in a world we want things to be better is to think we have to push ourselves and work harder. But our problem is usually not that we're not doing enough. It's that we need to take time to discern and just allow ourselves to rest and be gracious.
Yeah, you gotta be a lot more space.
So I don't know who needs to hear that. I'm mostly saying that to myself. But like burnout, especially when for folks who are realizing, oh, I'm queer, or, oh my God, I'm just realizing something. And it's a lot to process, but I have to work 46 hours this week. It's miraculous that we function.
Yeah.
Dorinda writes, isolation was and continues to be the enemy for us both individually and community-wise.
Yeah.
Dorinda also writes, you fought against it well. Mm-hmm. Nicholas writes, I was in private practice as a spiritual director for over a decade. Very interested in the spiritual direction program.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as I said, I mean, go to the MICA website. There's a link to it there. Or if you want to message me, I can give you that.
Yes.
And Gus is here.
Hey, Gus, Librarian Gus.
Librarian Gus.
I happen to unexpectedly have today off. Glad I was able to make the last one. I'm sad I haven't been able to make it for quite a while. Appreciate you both so much. We haven't made it for quite a while either, so it's okay.
And we appreciate you so much, Gus. Gus, for those that were not up on Gus the Librarian comment, Gus is an amazing font of wisdom and either has a ton of shit inside his head or is really good on the keyboard, because he could come up with things like, in podcast number 47 at minute number 12 of this, these people talked about the same issue we're talking about right now. And I would just be like, how the hell do you know that? And so he became our unofficial librarian. And we really appreciated all that.
Just because, I don't know, maybe this doesn't need to be said, but let me just gas up Gus a little bit. Gus isn't some esoteric disembodied brain on a keyboard, because Gus does some really great work. Showing love and solidarity and working alongside people experiencing homelessness in Portland area. That's how I first met Gus, is in those sorts of contexts of doing similar work. And so activist scholar type, that Gus is. It's been good to have you around, Gus. And I know a lot of you, I mean, I can try to gas up everybody. A lot of the people who've been following, you occupy those two worlds of trying to be a presence in the world to bring transformation, but also are thoughtful, spiritually deep people.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of weirdos that have found their way into the midst. I'm like, why did you even show up here? Go away. Most of you, especially those commenting now, are not like that.
No,
it's been like you're our people. It's been good to connect. Looks like we're gonna have a last comment here from Patricia, unless something slides in from Adam or somebody else at the last second. Patricia writes, thank you too for your leadership and willingness to open our minds to great inspiration, most helpful in dealing with these times. You're welcome. And thank you for being with us. And I hear a plane or an espresso machine. In your
background. Yes. Now that is a jet. We live on the flight, various flight paths of the airport. Mm-hmm. So we get that every once in a while. My window's open because it's such a nice day. So then you can really hear it. But yeah, well, thanks to you all. This was awesome. This was a really great final episode and send off. I'm just sending so much love to all of you and really appreciate everyone. And who knows what can happen next. And be careful of the robot birds.
Beware.
That's good that David mentioned that at the end here.
Oh, there's a robot.
There's a robot bird comment.
Yes, all birds are robot birds at this
point. All birds. Yeah, so whenever you see a bird,
except for loons,
a robot,
trust the loons.
Bye.
Bye.